There is nothing wrong with your radio receiver. Do not attempt to adjust the frequency. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next 50 minutes, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your radio receiver. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind and expands outward to the art area.
Pozdrav v prvi majski ediciji Arterije, oddajo sodobni likovni umetnosti, ki si je oddahnila od napornega praznovanja rojstnega dne Radija Študent. V 131. nadaljevanju oddaje Arterija se bodo avtorji osredotočili na pomembnejše dogodke, ki so zaznamovali lokalno umetnostno prizorišče v zadnjih dneh in tednih. Pija se je podala v mednarodni grafični likovni center, obšla razstavo Ereš efekt in se ustavila na prizorišču projekta Razočarala me je Lara Croft, ki je predstavila specifično podobje in estetiko računalniških iger. Miha se je bolj ali manj uspešno podal na projekcijo videodela po filmu Hirošima Mon Amour, avtorice Silvije Kolbovski, v malo galerijo in odnesel kopico vtisov tehnične narave. Ida se je podala na mednarodno konferenco muzejev moderne in sodobne umetnosti z naslovom Naslednji korak, ki je v Ljubljano pripeljala številne eminentne predstavnike inštitucij sodobne umetnosti. Več o naštetem čez nekaj trenutkov, zato ostanite na frekvenci Radija Študent 89,3.
Me Mednarodnem grafičnem likovnem centru v Tivoliju si trenutno lahko ogledate zanimivo razstavo, ki raziskuje tako likovnost kot tudi širši kontekst in družbeno problematiko računalniških iger oziroma samo kulturo igranja iger. Razočarala me je Lara Croft. Je velikopotezna postavitev, ki na ogled postavlja več kot 200 podob iz okrog 60 najbolj igranih najnovejših računalniških iger.
Med sprehodom po prostorih lahko razmišljamo o zanimivi poti, ki so jo računalniške igre prepotovale tekom bliskovitega napredka grafike. V primeru računalniško-grafično izvršenih izdelkov gre kvečjemu za še stopnjevano možnost tehnične reprodukcije oblikovalskega izdelka. Če pa pogledamo tudi onkraj vizualnega, se nam usiljuje vprašanje po družbenem pomenu igranja iger, ki pa je najbrž z vizualnim povezano bolj, kot se zdi na prvi pogled.
Pri postavitvi razstave je sodelovala zelo raznolika avtorska ekipa kustosov. Od umetnostnega zgodovinarja Leva Manašeja, gledališnic Helene Pivec in Barbare Novakovič, pisatelja Milana Kleča do Boštjana Borčiča z Fakultete za računalništvo in informatiko. Tako rekoč ready-made oblikovalske izdelke, ki ponavadi ne stojijo kot samosvoj element, ampak so podvrženi dinamiki časovnosti igranja, so zamrznili v screenshote in jih postavili na ogled kot galerijske razstavne objekte. S tem so jih tradicionalno postavili v domeno kontemplativnega opazovanja in jih tako samim aktom umestitve na razstavo podvrgli problematizaciji.
Ker je večji del razstavnih objektov prikazan v obliki statične slike, ki visi na belih stenah galerije, našo pozornost najprej pritegnejo čisto likovne kvalitete. Te v mnogih primerih, vsaj pri človeku, ki se z igrami ne srečuje pogosto, presenečajo svojo zgovornostjo.
V nekaterih primerih gre zgolj za reprodukcijo in stopnjevanje banalnih podob iz medijskega vsakdana. Kičasta mesenost se želi prodati tudi v svetu oboževalcev računalniških iger. Že če prelistamo številko ali dve Jokerja, ugotovimo, da je ta populacija predvsem moška, saj je na vsaki drugi strani reklama za kak aftershave. Bojda, da se igra Bikini Karate Babes, ki je samo izrezek deklet iz opolskih revij, katere se pač da animirati, da se šeškajo med seboj. Kar dobro prodaja.
Malo bolj okusne ali pa vsaj originalne, čeprav narejene z osrednje erotično-stimulativnim namenom, ostajajo nekatere igre potomke japonske mange, ki ohranjajo svojevrstno estetiko, naprimer Princess Waltz. Zanimivo je, da se objekt poželenja včasih preobrazi v junakinjo, ki jo animira igralec računalniške igre, kar se zgodi v slovitem primeru Lara Croft. Tako se igralec praktično utelesi v svojem virtualnem objektu poželenja in tako se zgodi popolna in ponovna spojitev moškega in ženske, ki sta bila po Platonu nekoč združena v eno telo. No, če smo pošteni, ti problemi kar kličejo po feministični kritiki. A za zdaj naj bodi o tem dovolj.
Priznati moramo, da se večina iger, vsaj tistih razstavljenih, ob tovrstne teme sploh ne obregne. Pri dobršni meri iger gre za prepletanje magičnih domišljijskih svetov. Tu skipijo dovršene vizualne podobe, ki poskušajo biti čim bolj verodostojni prikaz določenega sveta, v katerem se bo igralec popolnoma izgubil. To so pravlični pejsaži, tako futuristične kot medievalistične podobe alternativne realnosti. Tridimenzionalni liki iz iger so prave umetnine. Ljudje zaradi izrisa s pravim umetniškim občutkom dobivajo vtis živosti in čustvovanja. Tak svet lahko zares posrka.
Presenetljiva je kondenzacija umetnostno-zgodovinskih reminiscenc v podobah iz iger. Domišljijske svetove pomagajo ustvariti mogočne gotske katedrale. Ruševine in meglice nas asociirajo na slikarske podobe iz obdobja romantike. Nostalgija po herojskem v današnjem razosebljenem svetu ponovno oživlja romantično težnjo po mitološkem in historičnem, kar vpliva celo na vizualne podobe. Te so, če bi želeli potegniti ravno črto od slikarstva do grafike iger, čisti anahronizmi. A seveda gre za drug medij, drugo tehnologijo, ki ima lastno pot, pa tudi namen ni enak.
Lev Menashe v svojem sestavku od jedkanice do računalniških iger za katalog razstave izpostavlja slikarja romantike Friedricha, ki je ustvarjal na začetku 19. stoletja. Njegov najpomembnejši preboj v slikarstvu naj bi bila prav postavitev figure s hrbtom proti gledalcu. Naslikani človek je v prvem planu in zrel pokrajino pred njim. S tem dejanjem slikar omogoči, da se opazovalec poistoveti s figuro in si sebe predstavlja na pečini. Tako ga slika lahko šele zares posrka. Zdi se, da je ta Friedrichov dosežek temelj računalniških iger, vsaj pri žanru kakih prvoosebnih streljačin in pustolovščin.
Zdi se, da je vizualna kvaliteta še kako pomemben faktor igralnosti določene računalniške igre. Tendenca popularnejših iger je velika mera realizma, verjetnosti, ki mora biti tako likovna kot tudi tehnološka, da lahko posrka. Seveda so nekatere igre tudi likovno izvirnejše, črpajo iz moderne umetnosti, liki so schematizirani, uporablja se barvne ploskve. Tak je na primer Grim Fandango. Pojavljajo se asemblaži risbe, fotografije in računalniške animacije. Raznolikost estetike računalniških iger bi lahko primerjali s stripovsko.
A ne moramo trditi, da so likovne in vizualne prvine tisto ali vsaj ne edino bistvo računalniške igrarije. Spomnimo se na primer na igro Travian, ki ne uporablja nikakršne napredne grafike, pa je vseeno zasvojila ogromno ljudi. Gre za simulacijo življenja v nekih drugih, ekonomsko-pragmatičnih, ne tistih vizualnih segmentih. Kljub temu, da se našo družbo rado označuje kot družbo, ki temelji na podobi, pa je na primeru računalniških iger vredno premisliti tudi nekatera druga pomembna vprašanja. Naprimer, od kje izhaja težnja po simulaciji, po igranju vlog, po izgubljanju v domišljijskem?
Ob igri Sims, kjer gre za simulacijo življenja kot takega in nič več za potovanja v domišljijske magične svetove, ki bi jih lahko primerjali z branjem fantazijskih knjig, se strnejo nekatera vprašanja tendenc sodobnega človeka. Gre pri tej igri samo za tehnologizacijo in virtualizacijo igranja z Barbie punčkami ali pa je to že predpriprava na vstop oziroma beg v Second Life? Tam razno razne kupčije in odnosi ne bodo več samo fikcija, ampak zraven nekaj čisto zaresnega, saj bo tokrat za vsakim avatarjem realna oseba.
Igranje računalniških iger je postala neka pop kultura, ali pa vsaj subkultura, ki je vredna preučevanja na sebi. Prav tako pa so preučevanja vredne vizualne podobe in estetske prvine v igrah. Se gre za mesto, kjer ustvarja dobršen del oblikovalcev, ki so ustvarjalni, hkrati pa se prilagajajo okusu in potrebam. Ob opazovanju prevladujočih in tudi tistih obskurnih trendov bomo v družbi lahko marsikaj dognali.
Morda je svet računalniških iger še zadnje zatočišče lepote umetnosti v tistem romantičnem smislu. In ko se bo tudi vam stožilo po njej, sledite vzoru Sergeja Hvale in zaigrajte igro Shadow of the Colossus. Morda se tudi vam izvije kak izdihljaj z vsebino Kako lepo.
Raduj se, makar pošla bilo kde. Raduj se, sve sa srećom, nek ti je. Neka ti sve od ruke ide. Želim ti, želim najbolje. Neka te ljudi srećno
Srećna jesi.
Moderna galerija je v vikendu, ko je praznovanje 40. obletnice Radija Študent doseglo svoj nesporni vrhunec, pripravila in gostila zanimivo strokovno srečanje predstavnikov institucij, muzejev in galerij moderne in sodobne umetnosti ter ostalih kulturnih delavcev znotraj polja likovnih umetnosti. Mnoštvo predavanj in diskusij je osvetlilo tematiko javnih institucij v vzhodni in zahodni Evropi. Situacija pa je zares nezavidljiva predvsem na Balkanu. Medtem ko v Ljubljani še vedno čakamo na vsaj načelno odobritev projekta Muzeja sodobne umetnosti iz strani pristojnih organov in sivih eminenc, je moderna galerija v dolgotrajni renovaciji.
Nič boljše ni v drugih prestolnicah nekdanje Jugoslavije. Zagreb čaka na svoj novi arhitekturni biser, muzej suvremene umjetnosti, že 2 leti dlje od načrtovanega. Prav tako je v popravilu nekdani osrednji Jugoslovanski nacionalni muzej savremene umetnosti v Beogradu. V Skopju se sicer delujoča ustanova otepa s finančnimi in organizacijskimi težavami.
Na predvečer konference, ko so bili vsi gostje že zbrani v mestu, bi morala potekati tudi otvoritev razstave renomirane newyorške avtorice Silvije Kolbovski. Vendar se je očitno zataknilo že samo otvoritvijo, ki se je tokrat zgodila brez sicer standardne pogostitve za navadne smrtnike. Tudi sicer je na petkov večer le peščica obiskovalcev posedala v zatemnjeni in od projekcije obsijani galeriji.
Nič ne de. Otvoritev je res da moment srečevanja ter druženja in predvsem priložnost za kar se da množičen obisk ter izdatnejšo promocijo razstave tako pomembne umetnice. Ta se v Sloveniji predstavlja prvič z lansko leto ustvarjenim videofilmom, naslovljenim Po filmu Hirošima Mon Amour. Tako je otvoritev in sama razstava nekako ostala v senci aktualnih dogodkov v mestnem muzeju.
Silvija Kolbovski je umetnica starejše generacije, ki je v letošnjem letu dopolnila 60 let. Njena dosedanja kariera pa je v veliki meri potekala v znamenju kuratorskega, kritiškega, uredniškega in izobraževalnega dela. Trenutno je Silvija Kolbovski svetovalka uredniškega odbora revije Oktober v New Yorku in profesorica na Visoki šoli za umetnost in oblikovanje v Ženevi.
V preteklosti je v polju umetniškega ustvarjanja izvedla kontinuirane projekte, med katerimi po razvpitosti izstopata deli Neprimerna zgodovina konceptualne umetnosti in Bližina moči v ameriškem slogu. Silvija Kolbovski je v slednjem predstavila svoje poglede in izsledke moralno vprašljivih akcij ameriške vlade, povezane z različnimi globalnimi korporativnimi igralci. Umetnica je naredila intervjuje z osebami, ki so namerno ostale anonimne v bližini velikih osebnosti poslovnega, političnega, medijskega in umetnostnega sveta. Izprašala je dečke v starosti med 7 in 11 let, kaj zanje predstavlja največjo moč. Odgovore je na to ilustrirala na več kot 100 ilustracijah, povzemajočih različne ikone umetnostnega in medijskega sveta zadnjih 200 let.
Njen najnovejši video po filmu Hirošima Mon Amour, ki traja 22 minut, povzame kultni film iz leta 1959 režiserja Alena Resnoja in scenaristke Marguerite Dura, ki pripoveduje zgodbo o intimnem razmerju med Francozinjo in Japoncem v povojni, a še vedno kontaminirani Hirošimi. a film, ki velja za enega prvih v seriji tako imenovanega francoskega novega vala, nosi poleg ljubezenske zgodbe tudi številne širše družbene, politične in etične poudarke.
Silvija Kolbovski je ustvarila sodobno različico tega kultnega filma, ki korespondira s trenutno aktualnim časom. Hirošima današnjega časa je za umetnico intervencija v Iraku in ravnodušnost vlade do lastnega življa po katastrofi v New Orleansu. Videofilm lepi in povezuje različne, večinoma medijske slike nasilja in katastrof. Obenem pa predstavi igrane prizore 10 igralcev različnih spolnih, verskih in ideoloških prepričanj, ki simbolično zamenjujejo filmski par.
Ob razstavi je šel sicer skromen, a odličen barni katalog s konkretnimi interpretativnim tekstom Luize Nader, ki umesti in definira video delo Silvije Kolbovski v širši kontekst zgodovine filma in umetnosti. A na žalost tekst ne more biti dovolj za predstavo o dejanskem delu, ki si ga včeraj v mali galeriji zaradi tehničnih nevšečnosti ni bilo mogoče ogledati. Instalacija je sicer zamišljena kot nasproti si stoječa projekcija starega in novega filmov, med katerima je preteklo skoraj 50 let. A obiskovalec je lahko spremljal zgolj gibljive slike Resnojevega filma, medtem ko je druga, dejansko avtorska stran Silvije Kolbovske, ostala mrtva.
Ker se s tehničnimi težavami pokvarjenega projektorja ne splača preveč ubadati, bomo recenziji tega videofilma lahko prisluhnili v torek, 19. maja, v rubriki Fine umetnosti na Radiu Študent, če bo seveda instalacija do takrat že usposobljena. Tokrat pa bomo predvajali nekaj razmišljanj Silvije Kolbovski o svojem starejšem projektu Neprimerna zgodovina konceptualne umetnosti iz let 1998 in 1999. Predstavitev se je zgodila v nedeljo v sklopu diskusije z naslovom Kako lahko umetniki prispevajo k celovitejšim zgodovinam, ki jih predstavljajo muzeji moderne in sodobne umetnosti.
I was asked to present a project that I worked on from 1998 to 99 and that I have been exhibiting on and off in for the past decade, which is called An Inadequate History of Conceptual Art. So in the 1980s, when I taught at various art departments around the United States, in the mid-1980s, sort of 85, 86, I would ask my students if they knew what conceptual art was, and none of them knew what conceptual art was. So if we think of the period of conceptual art, I like to think of it as a kind of, let's say, period of high conceptual art is covering the mid-60s to the mid-70s in a variety of continents and countries. From 1975 to 1985, a period of amnesia had set in for a younger generation that had no idea what conceptual art was. At least my students in the United States, art students, did not know. You know, I was too young to experience that period of conceptualism in the 60s and 70s, and so I had to approach it through books, largely, by the time that I became interested in it in the 80s. The reason that I became interested in the 80s is that in the 1980s in New York, as an artist, the two kind of warring fields of aesthetic production at the time were neo-expressionism, which was coming from Germany and Italy mostly to New York, and a form of aesthetic production called, which at the time was being called appropriationism, in which I was participating, I became dissatisfied with the fact that the artwork was being put on the walls in a very traditional way. You know, the re-photographed, let's say, mass media images that were being made by a lot of artists then, and that a lot of these artists continue to make, were being put on the wall in very traditional ways. And so I was led to do some research into, just on my own, into conceptualism. I began to notice that by the 90s, there was a revival of conceptualism. So there was something that was being called neoconceptualism. I remember that in the 80s, a lot of curators that were calling me were asking me to put my work in shows of feminist art. By the 90s, I was being asked to put exactly the same work in shows about that were supposedly organized around the theme of neoconceptualism. So there was a big revival. The category of neoconceptualism, in which a lot of younger artists in the United States and maybe at the time parts of Europe were being included, I thought was a very problematic category, because it seemed to me that those artists, those young artists, were replicating the stylistic aspects of conceptual, whatever they knew of conceptualism by then, of the 60s and 70s, without any kind of analogical understanding of why that work was produced in the 60s and 70s. And what I saw happening, you know, coming from the United States, and maybe this is the case globally now, but the turnover of interest in revived subjects happens extremely quickly. So it occurred to me that with this wave of neoconceptualism, that maybe by 2 years later it was going to be gone. And with this revived interest in historical conceptualism, that maybe within 3 or 4 years it would be gone. So I came up with this idea of doing a project about conceptualism that in order to, my motivation then was to slow down the process of the return. I wanted to keep the door open, just to create a kind of reflective space around historical conceptualism, and not treat it as the revival of a style that would go out of style within a few years. So I had no desire to present a comprehensive history, and that's why, in part, I came up with this title, An Inadequate History of Conceptual Art. What I did was I put together a list of 60 artists who were not necessarily conceptual artists, whose names I knew. Some of them I knew personally, most of them I didn't know. And I sent them this question. Briefly describe a conceptual artwork, not your own, of the period between 65 and 75, which you personally witnessed, experienced at this time. For the sake of this project, the definition of conceptual art should be broad enough to encompass such phenomena of that period as actions documented through drawings, photographs, film and video, concepts executed in the form of drawings or photographs, objects where the end product is primarily a record of the precipitant concept, and performative activities which sought to question the conventions of dance and theater. I should say that that's a definition that I invented. It's a very, very broad definition.
Medtem ko smo rajali ob 40. obletnici Ereša, je v mestnem muzeju potekala mednarodna konferenca muzejev moderne in sodobne umetnosti. Karkoli so že imeli v mislih z naslovom Naslednji korak, govorilo se je o funkciji, vlogi in preživetju muzejev. Predvsem pa je konferenca napovedala, da bo v jeseni končno funkcionalna tudi stavba moderne galerije, ki je že 2 leti nefunkcionalna zaradi obnove. Prvi dan konference so se spraševali o možnih načinih za hranjenje muzejskih zbirk in kakšno bi moralo biti razmerje med razstavnim programom in predstavljanjem muzejske zbirke.
V pogovoru na temo, kako daleč smo se oddaljili od izvornega pomena muzeja, ki ga je vodil Igor Španjol, je bil prisoten tudi Charles Eše, ki bo morda gostujoči kustos naslednjega U3, tako da ga bomo imeli priložnost videti še mnogokrat. Sicer je moderna galerija naribarila svoje goste v približno 20 muzejih iz celega sveta. Med njimi so bili nekateri vodilni šefi in šefice prestižnih muzejev, na primer direktor Nacionalnega muzeja moderne umetnosti iz centra Georges Pompidou, Alfred Pakemon, glavna kuratorica Londonskega muzeja Tate Modern, Sheena Wagstaff, vodja Madridskega muzeja Reina, Sofia Jesus Carillo in številni drugi predstavniki manjših muzejev.
Vsekakor je dobro slišati, kako s svojimi zbirkami upravljajo največje institucije, vendar njihovi problemi, zahteve, publika, finančni okviri daleč presegajo naše možnosti. Kljub prijetnemu zraču, v katerem smo se spoznavali z muzejskimi zbirkami, je za našo neposredno izkušnjo bil bolj praktične narave predvsem drugi dan konference. V nedeljo so o lokalnih kontekstih muzejev izven meja tako imenovane Zahodne Evrope govorile Ana Janevski iz Muzeja moderne umetnosti v Varšavi, Lisette Lagnado, članica odbora svetovalcev Muzeja moderne umetnosti v São Paulo, ki je bila leta 2006 glavno kustosinja 27. Bienala v São Paulo, in Barbara Steiner, kustosinja in direktorica Galerije za sodobne umetnosti v Leipzigu.
Zrak je napolnjevala fantazma o nesojenem muzeju sodobne umetnosti na Metelkovi 22, ne da bi se o tem dejansko tudi govorilo. Dovolj zanimivo je, da so se številni govorci na konferenci ukvarjali s problemom arhitekture. Mogoče to niti ni najbolj pomembno vprašanje v regijah, kjer obstajajo vsaj zadovoljive prostorske razmere. V razmerah, v katerih pa se nahajajo muzeji v tako imenovani bivši vzhodni Evropi, v Braziliji ali drugod, pa se to pojavlja ponovno kot pomembna tema. Seveda je pomembno razmišljati o občinstvu, načinu predstavljanja zbirke in programu, vendar dokler nimamo zunanje školjke, v katero bi to umestili, so vsa prizadevanja za manj. Prisluhnimo najprej izkušnji Ane Janevski z ustanavljanjem Muzeja sodobne umetnosti v Varšavi.
The new building should represent a counterpoint for the palace and culture and become an internationally recognizable new symbol of Warsaw. Swiss architect Christian Keres was announced as a winner, and that became, was a huge shock. For someone also coming from the outside, it's incredible how emotional actually it was, and how it created a totally traumatic, it became a totally traumatic experience to the extent that the old director resigned, and for one moment there was a project without the staff and without the director. Actually, the building was accused to be too minimalistic, to be too close to communist modernism, because it was this horizontal, minimalistic, concrete building. Actually, it was something that that also the artistic media expected. So there was a very profound crisis, not only on a political level, because then, as usual, there are all the struggle with the politicians, because the city Warsaw, who is financing it, and the Ministry of Culture, who is giving the budget. Also, what is amazing that the case of the museum was so much present in the media, in the newspaper, in the television, and then somehow some part, like a progressive part let's say, intellectual media started to be for the museum, in particular for the foreign architecture who were building the museum. So there were also many meetings with the architect, public meeting, and it somehow became really the case, and it became very, the museum, actually the project in the museum had the total support of the media. The negotiations are still on, the situation is much better than it used to be, but just to mention that like only a year ago, the city signed a contract with the architect, so till a year ago it was even not sure that it's going to be built, and now it's supposed to start, the building, the construction is supposed in 2011. But in the meantime, the new director has been appointed, and it's Jana Mitkowska, who was one of the co-founder of the Fox and Gallery Foundation with Adam Szewara and Adam Szymczak, the temporary headquarters. It's in the building, it's a block of flat, it's in the ex-furniture shop, which has been closed. It's like a very famous furniture shop from the 80s. So there are two floors of the shop that has been given to the museum. And actually, that's how we started exactly a year ago, and now I also use this we, it's the plural of my study that we mentioned yesterday so many times. And it also because it's true that somehow there is kind of a collective work in the museum. I think that's, to quote the Gorgon artist, Giulio Seder, it's a collective work, it cannot be foreseen as a form, but as an effort, actually. So we're really taking advantage of this collective potential of like of the few people who are really engaging to it, of this emancipatory potential of the collective work. And particularly, so when we started, we were totally aware that it's a very specific case, that it's a museum who is based on the conflict, an antagonism, that there is no consensus, and we are totally so based on conflict, on antagonism, and on confrontation, and that the program has to be responsive somehow to social changes and to the diversity of the public sphere, and also to produce knowledge about the conflicted society around us. And this is something that also yesterday was mentioned very many times about the constantly responding to social changes. So this is all our very interesting phrases that I can repeat in every conference when I'm invited to talk about the museum, but that actually was how to do it, how, where to start from, how to start, like we still have like thought and doubt about the museum, what direction to take. And that's sure that this space, it's very specific, this architecture, it's very significant space, and the place to be in the block of land is something to be considered, and so it also gives the opportunity to think about new innovative methods. So we started, for example, for the screening of the Artur Szmierski film Dem, and inviting Claire Bishop to talk about participation, or with the screening of the Galit Eliad film, of the selection of Galit Eliad film from Galit Eliad is working in a digital art center in Holon. So really we took this conflict almost into the first degree. And then starting to think about exhibitions, how to make exhibitions, what kind of exhibitions, it actually came very naturally to consider our geographical position, I mean our like polar geographical position, and to think that it's in Eastern Europe, and maybe that the notion could be criticized, and what is Eastern Europe today when the former West is in the former East, and that actually it's not something to consider as as also yesterday was mentioned, kind of a package countries, because there are many differences between all the countries. But still, when you look closer, beside the Moderna Galleria, namely, actually very few institutions took actually any kind of a serious research about Eastern Europe. So we think so that there are many things actually to be researched. It is also an opportunity to rewrite the history, to work of the memory. And this is something also that was mentioned today many times. Also this idea of the universalistic Western canons that should be somehow overtaken. And talking also about Eastern Europe and talking about conflict somehow, this was the first exhibition of the museum, which was called "When, as soon as I opened my eyes, I see a film, experimenting art in Yugoslavia in the 60s and 70s. So it was kind of a statement to start about the 60s and the 70s, which are a turning point in the contemporary art, a turning point.
Debata o arhitekturi je zaznamovala tudi druge predstavitve. Predvsem predstavitev projekta litvanskega umetnika Gediminasa Urbonasa Vila Lituanija, v katerem je na strašno humoren način predstavil projekt izgradnje novega muzeja sodobne umetnosti. Projekt so zaupali slavni arhitektki Zahi Hadid, ki je v sredini Vilniusa načrtovala ogromno vesoljsko ladjo s kičastim zaobljenim parkom. Super arhitektura za Seul, Šangaj ali Dubaj. Vendar v malem baltskem mestecu je struktura prav groteskna.
Sama podoba stavbe pa ni niti tako srhljiva kot dejstvo, da naj bi bila posvečena Georgu Mačunasu in Fluxusu. Fluxus je nastopal kot odločno gibanje proti inštitucijam umetnosti in proti muzejem. Urbonas je predstavil serijo smešnih intervjujev s karizmatičnim županom Vilniusa, ki je bil poln idej o turizmu, kulturnem pomenu stavbe, bla, 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 bla. Samo za moment pa me je njegova situacija spomnila na Rog in sprašujemo se, kakšen je odnos, razen lastniškega, med Metelkovo 22 in Rogom. V pogovoru s Lizet Lanjado smo dobili zanimiv odgovor na vprašanje, kakšna arhitektura naj bi bila najbolj ustrezna muzeju sodobne umetnosti.
Because the contemporary museum, if it would have be built now, and I would think in an abandoned structure or some post-industrial hangar being reinvested and something decaying in between, something in between the decadence and the
Ob koncu konference so svoje poglede na prispevek umetnikov k celovitejši zgodovini za muzeje moderne in sodobne umetnosti predstavili tudi sami umetniki. Poleg že omenjenega Urbonasa so bili povabljeni še Borut Vogelnik iz skupine Irvin, Silvija Kolbovski, Tadej Pogačar in Apolonija Šuštršič.
Nekoliko nas je presenetila Vogelnikova iskrenost, ki je zelo jasno in utemeljeno opisal, zakaj so Irvini zavzeli pozicijo moči v moderni galeriji in kako že dve dekadi vplivajo na njen program.
What I'm going to tell you about is in fact probably not corresponding with the question which we are supposed to answer to at this panel. The question, if you do remember, is how artists can help institutions in their efforts to historize. So how artists can help institutions in doing their business, in short. But I'm going to tell you about probably totally opposite problem, because the span of projects which I'm going to present, I'm going to read a short text, is starting at a time where the grip of institutions in this terrain was loosened up seriously. So, as maybe some of you know, IRWIN was established at the beginning of the 80s, and during the 80s, the loosening up of the grip of institutions was obvious. And it more or less widened up completely, as Charles Hirsch expressed himself yesterday, this white cube has widened up situation, and this ideological grip of institutions in these terrains, because of the shift of the system, widened up at the end of the 80s and beginning of 90s. And it was really interesting to observe from close this change, this shift, this transition, to feel it physically from beginning of 80s and first elements of deterioration of the system till nowadays, when we heard yesterday that the system is getting a grip again. It's somehow in good shape again, and we can hope that our help is not going to be needed in the future anymore. That they are going to do their job as we, in the first place, wanted them to. That was our demand. Not that we didn't ask this emptied up, drained territory, we loved it. But of course, it was very, very useful and very practical to ask them to do their jobs. And of course, we knew that because of the political circumstances, the answer was mostly improbable. And we were not wrong.
Strani ekipe tokratne Arterije je bilo to za danes vse. Lep pozdrav in naslišanje ponovno v sredo, 27. maja ob 20. uri na valovih Radija Študent. Oddajo so vsebinsko pripravili Pija Brezavšček, Miha Colnar in Ida Hiršenfelder. Za tehnično izvedbo je poskrbel Linč, brala pa sta Rok in Jaka. Quiet night hums like a tune, another song that dispels the gloom. And through the windows to shattered glass, the lattice sprawl on her brown grass. The sun withheld its light from me, I said a prayer, we shall see.
Nothing wrong with your radio receiver. Do not attempt to adjust the frequency. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next 50 minutes, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your radio receiver. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind and expands outward to the art area.